This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell. Welcome. Glad you are with us. Mike Lindell is out on business tonight, traveling the country in a lot of very important meetings and working to try to fix and save our nation. Fix 2020 and save our nation. We're going to talk tonight in this hour with Jeff O'Donnell. We're also going to talk with Patrick Colbeck and then J.D. Rucker. Full show tonight. Joining me first is Jeff O'Donnell. Many of you remember him from the Cyber Symposium, or the Summit, the Moment of Truth Summit in Springfield, Missouri in August. He was there at the news desk quite a bit. And Jeff, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us tonight, Jeff.
Always an honor, sir. Thank you.
All right. So, Jeff, we wanted to talk a little bit about the what we broke last night here with Kurt Olson. And now it's all over the place. Last night it wasn't that many places. Now it's everywhere. And that's the district attorney of Los Angeles charging this man for many things, including, I guess, the press release by the L.A. district attorney said he was putting data, information, election data, information about poll workers, et cetera, on a CCP server. You want to tell our audience about this?
Thank you. Yes, this is a stunning move and a confirmation of what we've heard from the True the Vote people and other things that broke this some time ago. It's a very, very serious thing to have come out and have broken where it did in L.A. It's bad because they are sharing information on poll workers and who knows who else, frankly, with our enemy, frankly, the Chinese Communist Party, and it just to me maps well into the whole conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact of what happened and is happening to our elections. Not to mention other parts of our infrastructure as well. But it was very stunning to see this come out, especially at this time. I can't wait to see. I'm hoping that they do their job and walk this back to all the places that, that are touched by it. It's one thing to say, okay, he's sharing information. Now we need to know what exactly was being done with that information, what sort of quid pro quo was going on, who else might have been involved in getting this information spread to places it shouldn't have gone. And also, I think it's something that I haven't heard talked about a lot. We need to determine if some of our poll and election workers might be in danger, whether physical or hacking or any other kinds of danger. This is a year of huge, or a couple of years of huge stories. This is definitely right up there.
Well, the New York Times did a piece mocking anyone that was questioning this company, and then the next day this guy gets charged. So the conspiracy theory was being mocked by the New York Times if anyone mentioned the controversy around this company, and then the very next day the guy is indicted. Do you know if the New York Times has come out and apologized and now acknowledged that it wasn't a conspiracy theory prior to the man's arrest, that it was now proven to be truthful?
I suspect they're planning a page 22 retraction in 6 to 8 weeks. But yeah, this was perhaps we joke that the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact these days is about four to six weeks. This really beat the clock. It was a matter of a few days.
Yeah, here's Brian. Here, Logan, if you want to show this, here's Brian York. He tweeted on Monday, New York Times publishes story knocking down crazy right-wing conspiracy theories about voting software company. Tuesday, New York Times reports company CEO has been arrested.
You couldn't have to a nicer fellow.
No, it really could not. This one here, this guy said the same thing. This one happened quicker than usual. That's kind of what you were just saying.
Yes.
Appreciate not having to wait it out. So, yeah, this one says, what a difference a day makes. Day one, those crazy right-wingers keep peddling this crazy conspiracy theory. Day two, which turns out to be true. Oh, wow.
Well, people better get used to this because
even Rasmussen was look at that. The New York Times, never forget. So they were, yeah, here we go. CEO of election company that sued True the Vote was just arrested for exactly what True the Vote has been claiming. That's Rasmussen reports.
I just can't see, I can't wait to see how this plays out. And we've got to make sure that this is not swept under the rug like, so many other things are and have been.
Yeah, this also vindicates Mike Lindell. Not that he needs it, but this, he was saying in the first documentary, Absolute Proof, that the Chinese were involved in damaging the 2020 election. This adds fuel to that assumption, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't go a day, I don't think, if you're looking at something without something vindicating Mike Lindell's statements that he's made. And this goes in. I mean, very few people who actually look and know what's going on, I think, can deny that the Chinese played a role. A lot of us are trying to figure out exactly how big and that role was, but they had a role. And here you go, more proof of that.
Yeah. What else is in the cyber world that you need to report to us tonight, Jeff?
Well, I guess I'll kind of update because I think it's going to be timely. Our cast vote record initiative that has been going on for about a year, but Mike really lit the fire under it at the Moment of Truth Summit, and it's been staggering to me how many we have cast vote records we've gotten from counties across the country. You can round up to 1,000. We're still evaluating. A lot of times what they send that they say aren't, well, not a lot of times, but sometimes what they send isn't what they say they were sending. So we've got to validate them and things. But, we're still sitting, we're heading for 700 verified, I think, before.
And how do you do that? Explain to our audience who maybe is new, what is a vote cast record and how do you verify its authenticity?
A cast vote record is a report that can be put out by many election vendors in many counties. And very simply, it's like a spreadsheet that lists every ballot they processed. It's supposed to be in the order they processed it and what the votes were on that ballot. Not who voted, nothing about the voter. The only thing about the voter is you'll get the precinct often, which is very useful. So if you can replay the election from start to finish, by every ballot that came in and what the votes were on them. That is, you can't get much more simple than that. It's just another way of counting the votes. There's no reason that it should not be public information anywhere. And frankly, any state or county that that has taken that firm position that they cannot give this information out is involved in a massive cover-up, because in reality there is no reason that passes any muster for this information not to be released, other than, of course, it's highly damaging to the election deniers. I mean the ones that deny there was fraud in the election. It's very damaging to their side, so I get why they don't want to put it out. But it is so harmless in a way that San Francisco, arguably one of the most liberal blue places in the world, that county, they put it up on their website, the cast vote record, exactly what gets produced by all these counties, and I do think it's kind of funny that a number of other counties are now, they've gotten inundated by requests and. Some of them are quite upset that we've, actually made them do their job and work. But some of them have been like, okay, just put it up. Not many, but a few. They have actually, in response to this, said, all right, rather than field 100 more requests, let's just put it out on the website. And I heartily encourage any county election office that hasn't done that to do that. That would be the simple way. If you're complaining that all of these perfectly legal public records requests are somehow ruining your days, just put it up on a website. Let everybody have it.
Wow. Okay, so when you say you have, 700 and some odd validated, what are these cast vote records showing? What are you able to glean from it?
Well, they showed several different categories of, I'll be kind and say, problems in the vote, from unnatural patterns of voting. You can oftentimes see in them large runs of votes for a particular candidate that defy all possible statistical reality. And you can actually dig down to the precinct level and see in individual precincts, again, not just how they voted, but the order that people voted. And that is where we're seeing in the vast majority, we're able to find things that definitely show signs that there's manipulation going on to these votes and ballots behind the scenes in these black box machines that votes, ballots go in one end and numbers come out the other end. And we just don't have, obviously, the smarts to be trusted with the knowledge of how that happens, anything happens in between. That simply has to end. The whole thing of secrecy in government, which is, I don't know if you want to put up something. I brought a few of my friends to talk about what makes me angry about this. Put aside the fact that we're finding evidence of fraud everywhere. Just the fact that we are being fought so hard to know and understand the basic principle of how our votes are counted, how they're tallied, how they're, it boggles the mind in this country.
You sent a few quotes. Here's a great one from Patrick Henry you sent. The liberties of a people never were, never ever will be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them. That's a great quote.
It certainly is. And that's what's going on. And we're talking specifically about elections, but that obviously applies to other areas of our government as well. But this is the one that's our elections are the break glass in case of emergency of our whole country, of our republic. And when that doesn't exist anymore, when we don't have confidence in it, again, even if you put aside and say, well, okay, I don't, if somebody says that they don't believe, me and other people and say there's fraud, aren't they at least a little bit concerned that they do not know what the process is? That things are hidden from them in the process. That should stoke at the heart of anybody who understands the Constitution, who understands, the sunshine laws, all of that.
Secrecy is the key word, and this is from another quote you provided. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK. Of course, I don't know if he said this before president or, before he was president or during his presidency, but he said the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to this was a speech made while he was president, folks. We are opposed to secret societies. This is a very famous speech. To secret oaths and to secret proceedings. Yeah, this is a very famous speech by President Kennedy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably one of the things that sent him to his end, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is, because he was going after some of those, the power elite and those secret groups. And, it may have something to do with exactly why they wanted him out of the way. Here's James Madison. A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power knowledge gives. That's a great quote, too, by James Madison. Help write some of our founding documents.
Absolutely. When I question something, I oftentimes just, I go back to the founders. Oftentimes they had very smart things to say.
Here's one from Abraham Lincoln. Let the people know the facts, and the country will be safe.
I love that quote. And that should be... That should be on flags flown
yeah, indeed.
around this country.
Here's the United States Supreme Court in NLRB versus Robbins Tire Company, 1978. The basic purpose of the Freedom of Information Act is to ensure and inform citizenry, vital to the functioning of a democratic society, needed to check against corruption and to hold the governors accountable to the governed. Wow, 1978 Supreme Court ruling.
And there you go. There you go. Right there from the Supreme Court. And, you know, you've got people saying, and they will say, that somehow people making these freedom of information requests, patriots, thousands of them or more, making these requests, are somehow interfering with government. Anybody who would make that statement, that people making a public records request, whether it's successful or not, whether they think they have a prayer or not of getting it, then the act of them making that statement is pure Republican government at its best, and it should be championed. And instead, you've got people who are demonizing us for asking questions and being persistent.
Mm-hmm. And even being called domestic terrorists in some case.
Being called domestic terrorists. And you know, this information, you know, I'm really sorry that this information is proving and going to prove very unpleasant to, you know, some of the government and counties and things like that. Nevertheless, that doesn't give them a right to hold it back. It does not, you know, it gives them no right at all to do that. And if you remember, the basic premise to all of our freedom of information, all of our sunshine laws, is that everything the government does should be public. Every scrap of paper, every pencil mark, everything should be public, unless the government can make a case, make cause, that it's dangerous for that information to get out, you know, for very, very restricted reasons.
Indeed.
And it's supposed to be on them. Basically, it's like if I ask them for, you know, the menu at the Capitol restaurant, they should have to send that to me unless they can figure out a reason that giving me that menu is going to cause somebody harm.
Exactly.
Or disclose sources and methods for our intelligence community.
Well, let me ask you in closing two things. Do you have a website you want to promote, number one? And number two, what do you think is going to happen in just a few weeks with our November 2022 elections?
Well, I appreciate it. I guess the one-stop shop for all things raccoon is MAGARaccoon.com, M-A-G-A, and the word raccoon.com.
MAGARaccoon.com.
Yep, you can get to my Telegram channel, and I need all the help I can get there. So join Raccoon Army if you want to.
Okay, great. So what do you think is going to happen this fall?
If we keep up what we're doing, we know how to beat them. We know how to beat the fraud, and that is to flood it with outrageous turnout. Do it at the last possible time. Do it on election day. Wait and do that. Poll watchers, election watchers, know your rights and do not comply with anything that doesn't go against your rights. You know, get eyes on those ballot, you know, on those drop boxes. We're going to have that red wave. We're going to have that red wave as long as everybody does their part. They cannot stop us.
And you believe that Carrie Lake's race pretty much showed that to be the template that will beat the elite, right?
I thought, yes, absolutely. That race, as I watched it unfold in real time, showed, you know, a lot of people were getting very nervous whenever the early returns came in and Carrie Lake was losing at one time by a decent number of votes. But I was watching those number of votes compared to how many were expected. And when I'd realized they'd run out of mail-ins, I knew it was over. And I was telling people, just wait, calm down, it'll be okay. They weren't able to put enough mustard.
And what do you think they're doing to try to rectify that? Having seen what happened, knowing what the strategy is for everybody to show up that day, what are they doing to make sure this doesn't trap them again?
Can I give you an honest answer what they're doing?
Yeah.
panicking.
I knew you were going to say that.
Just what we want them to do. Because panic people make mistakes. And everything we've found so far, and all the stuff that Mike has been saying, and other thing, it's a lot of it's just me because they made mistakes. They did not think they would get the pushback that they got from us on this stolen election, and it's they're panicking, and keep them panicking.
All right, the most important question of the night: what kind of dog is in the room with you?
This actually is a great Pyrenees Husky mix. Named Finnegan.
I don't know if the audience can hear, but I knew I could hear her panting or him panting.
Oh.
Is it a him or a her?
That's a him.
Him.
Yeah
I can hear him panting every now and then.
He's okay. He's just he gets nervous when I'm on podcasts and shows. You know, he's just nervous for me.
But well, let me show you how nervous my dog is. Go to a wide shot, guys. Show raccoon. That's his nickname, folks. So show Jeff. There you go. I don't know if you can see Delta on her.
Oh,
pillow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
She's there every night. She's passed out. She was with me in the Studio B a while ago. I was doing another show, and she follows me in here. She knows when I'm on the air, it's time to go to sleep. So, and she actually knows when I go to get off the air and I say, thank you for listening, take care. She can tell when I'm wrapping the show up, and somehow she wakes up, starts stretching. She knows when the shows are coming to an end by way I'm talking. So she'll sleep here now till 7, then we'll go to the news at 7:30 and then Brandon House Live. But, yeah, she can tell when we're going in between shows and she can get up and go outside and come back in.
That's adorable. Big question I have is that a MyPillow dog bed?
Of course it is.
Okay, good.
Of course awesome. It is. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you what, she's so addicted to it that the other day I went into a meeting in another room and she walked into the – we were all sitting in down and she walked into the middle of the room. And she just kept staring at me and staring at me. And I thought, she's been outside. She's eaten. She's got water. What is wrong with her? And she would not leave me alone. And someone said, I think she wants you to go get her bed. She doesn't want to lay on the hard floor. Sure enough, I went and got her bed, and she laid right down. So now if she doesn't have a MyPillow dog bed in the room, she will stand there and stare at you until you get up and go get it from the studio and bring it into the other room. She won't lay down on a hard floor if she can help it.
Dogs are the best people.
Ah, the dogs are the best people. Now she's wide awake. Now she's getting up. She somehow knows we're talking about her. I don't know how, but now she's going to get up.
There we go.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, I knew you had a dog, so I had to bring that up. And I liked you before. Now you have six dogs?
I do, yeah.
Well, I have three.
You still have time.
Yeah, we still have time. I knew I liked you, but I like you even more now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Somehow she knew we were talking. How do you know we're talking about you? How do you know when I'm talking about you? I don't get it. All right, but you do. All right. Let me go to Let me go to this website real quick before we go to Patrick Colbeck. Guys, let me know we got Patrick. In the meantime, let's go take a look at this website right here. Patrick will be with us in a minute, but here, look. Here's how we pay for everything, folks. Here's how you can support us and get something in return. Help Mike. Help fund Mike and all that he's doing. By the way, tomorrow is October 6th. You know what happens tomorrow? Tomorrow is October 6th, and I think it's tomorrow that we're supposed to get word about okay, you got Patrick? Okay. I think we're supposed to get word tomorrow about Mike's... I think that's when the FBI is supposed to respond. The courts, the Justice Department, right? Is the 6th? Let's see. I'm going to look this up real quick. I think they're supposed to respond by tomorrow, the 6th. No. No, this is about the Dennis Montgomery evidence in Nevada. That's tomorrow, October 6th. So the government is supposed to respond by tomorrow, October 6th, about Dennis Montgomery's evidence that's in Nevada as far as that... that gag being lifted or not. That's tomorrow. So that's one thing we want to mention about. Let's go back to this. So here's how we fund this all and all that Mike's doing. The most comfortable My Slippers ever, the MyPillow slippers. Again, make sure you go there to the website, MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77. Use, I was going to give you my code. Use Mike's code L77. We got the biggest bed sheet sale in MyPillow history, as low as $29.98 with that promo code L77. The most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, as low as $19.88 since Walmart canceled him. He's passing the savings on to you, $19.88 at MyPillow.com. Use promo code L77. The most comfortable mattress topper you'll ever own, save up to 50% with that code. And then the MyPillow's biggest bath sale ever, three-piece towel set, under $20. $19.98, $89.98 for the robe. These are beautiful, thick, luxurious robes. I own one. $49.98 for the slippers again. And, of course, as you go on through the MyPillow, you can actually get to, there we go, pet. Let's go up to the top. So we're talking about pet beds. Here we go. Pet beds, MyPillow dog beds, as low as $39.98 with your promo code. This is the size small there. You can check out the different sizes. And so we were talking about those with Delta a while ago, right? So we'll go to up. Oh, there you go. That's more Delta size right there. All right. So check out those. Use that promo code L77. This is how, again, don't forget, by the way, about going to mystore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, where you can also get the My Coffee. You can get it in the whole bean and grind it yourself, as is this 2-pound bag. You can also get it already ground, and you can get it in light, medium, or dark roast. And they also have the coffee pods, for those of you like that, and a lot of other products by American entrepreneurs there at mystore.com. Use that promo code L77. Hey, let's throw up that picture that's going viral of Mike, Logan. Do we have that? Huh? All right, well, let me know when you've got it. I sent a picture. We got a picture that's going viral of Mike with someone quoting Mike, and someone drew a picture of Mike, and it's going viral. We'll show that to you here in just a minute. We won't forget. In the meantime, they're going to grab it. In the meantime, let's go to Patrick Colbeck. Patrick, welcome back to the Lindell Report. Thanks for being with us. Mike is traveling tonight. I'm sitting in, but thanks for being on with us.
No, it's great to be with you. There's a lot going on, and actually, if I could, since you're just on the mystore.com, we may as well talk about the book, The 2020 Coup, which is out at mystore.com. And our promo code is pretty easy. It's called Meddling Kids.
In fact, I'll show it.
Type in Meddling Kids.
I'll show it. There it is, right there. Right there, next to my Extractivity, my all-natural energy drink that I produced several years ago and have been for several years. Right next to you, Patrick, and The 2020 Coup, What Happened and What We Can Do, The 2020 Coup, by Patrick Colbeck, right there at mystore.com.
Yeah, and I keep telling everybody that every single day that passes since the 2020 election, we get new evidence of election fraud. And yesterday was no exception. Today was no exception. Yesterday, there was a big announcement around the Konak Incorporated CEO, which provides poll management software and election management software in support of our elections. The CEO, whose name is Eugene Yu, was actually arrested and under charges related to the sharing of personally identifiable information with, among other entities, the Chinese intelligence service.
So, oh, wow.
That's kind of a, so for folks that were sitting there wondering, when were the prosecutions, when were the arrests going to start? Well, we've seen a few of them already, we've seen a couple of the ballot traffickers, if you will, prosecuted. We've seen requests for charges. We got a lot of lawsuits in process, but this is actually a really good sign, because it shows that there are some law enforcement officials engaged and willing to prosecute crimes related to the 2020 election, and frankly, the 2022 election as well, because that software is still in place, taking this personally identifiable information from places like the city of Detroit and sharing this information overseas with folks like the Chinese Communist Party's intelligence service.
Yeah, which has got to be kind of scary for the people that are on that list, which include who? Poll watchers and who else?
Yeah, it's all the poll workers. There's 1.8 million. I was at the what they call the pit with Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, and they revealed that there is 1.8 million poll workers with personally identifiable information shared with external entities via this Polchi software developed by Konak Incorporated.
And now they didn't like that he shared that, and they sued him. They sued them, right?
Yep, they did. And but I'll tell you, I've got quite a bit of the data myself that they've dug into. And it is very concerning. I mean, they've even got stuff where they've got developer threads to Microsoft support network showing that their developers were actually in China using Chinese characters to describe their name, asking questions about the hosting environment where they were containing that software. Now, just to put this, containing that data, put this in context, by the way, the Chinese government passed a law about a year ago requiring that all Chinese nationals, whether they're expats or not, are required to share the any information that they gather as part of their activities with the Chinese Communist Party. And so this is actually a law in China to make sure that this information is shared. So it should raise a note of concern, particularly when this Konex software company is one of the top 10 Department of Homeland Security and Department of Defense contractors in my home state of Michigan.
So what is your attorney general of your state doing about this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, that in itself is implication of wrongdoing, because this information is available for her. It's been provided in a pretty public way to her office. But what's even more concerning is that when we started digging into some of the connections between this software company and the statewide leaders in the state of Michigan, what we found is that Gretchen Whitmer announced a $360,000 grant to Konex Software back at the end of December of 2021. That information has since been scrubbed from the Michigan Department or from the mi.gov website, which tells me all you need to know, frankly, is that they're in full cover-up mode going into this 2022 election.
So while the Attorney General of Michigan is threatened to investigate and prosecute anyone questioning the election, someone tied back to the CCP that's doing business in your state, she doesn't want to talk about?
That shows where their allegiances are, right? And to make matters worse, our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, actually went to Beijing and went to China on behalf of the Confucius Institute, which anybody who follows that organization understands its Communist Party ties. She actually went out there talking about elections with Chinese officials out in China at the time. So we have a connection between our governor and Konex Incorporated, which has ties to the Chinese intelligence agencies. We have ties between our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, and the Chinese Communist Party. Meanwhile, our Attorney General, Dana Nessel, is doing nothing. Now, all three of those individuals are up for re-election in the fall, and this isn't some October surprise. It's taken us a while to get all this information pulled together. This is real stuff that calls into question the integrity of our elections.
And speaking of Chinese connections and different people, here's from the Secretary of State's own website in Alabama. Alabama Secretary of State John H. Merrill, named chairman of the USHCA Economic Development Committee. Do the old Control F, type in China, and you're going to find out that's China, the United States Heartland China Association. So it's tied back to the People's Republic of China, right there,
yeah.
Right? I mean, USHCA is a bipartisan organization dedicated to building relationships and stronger ties between the USHCA region and the People's Republic of China. And there's the Secretary of State of Alabama working with China.
Mike's been talking about this since the beginning, about the connections between the Chinese Communist Party and the subversion of our elections.
That's what we talked about in Absolute Proof, and everybody mocked him, right?
Exactly. But all the connections are coming right back to where they started. And I even talked about it a little bit at the Moment of Truth Summit. I highlighted how this Polchi software that is developed by Konex also has back doors. It's being used as a kind of a soft entry point, if you will, to voting systems. So there's connections between the soft entry points like Polchief, GIS systems, geographic information system, et cetera. They look for these soft points of entry, and behind the scenes, what they do is they connect the databases between these what appear to the end user as an innocuous tool that has no connection to our voting systems. But on the back end, these databases are connected, and if you're connected into the voting system database on the back end and you've got access to one of these supposedly innocuous pieces of software like Polchief, you have de facto access to the voting systems as well. So that is one possible path to go in and subvert the integrity of our elections.
Look at this headline from our friend Patty McMurray, 100%fedup.com. Large garbage bag used to transfer stacks of absentee ballots from Detroit Dropbox. Is this what Secretary of State Benson means when she says Michigan elections were, quote, most secure in history? You scroll down, they're the two gals. There's
they may have been two-ply or three-ply trash bags, so in fairness, they probably were reinforced somewhat.
Oh, maybe we got a video. Is it going to play? Let's see. I don't know if it'll play there. All right. I guess there was a video. I don't know. Maybe they...
No, but what you're hitting on is the fact that this is pervasive. Every single major statewide office is connected in some way to this organization. And here we are heading into an election where they've had almost 4 years to go off and solidify any of these methods, any of these tools that they put in place to subvert the integrity of the election. And I think it's about time that they're held accountable for it. And instead, what's happening is that they are literally scrubbing all this data from all the government websites so that supposedly nobody can connect it. But you know, as I know, Brandon, is that nothing ever gets deleted from the internet. And we've got all that information. And the challenge is getting that information out to people, which is why the Lindell Report and your work is so important.
Well, thank you. Here, I think I finally got that video to work. Here you go, guys. Let's show this video. So there you go, getting out the trash bags.
Yep. Patty does great work there, and I know she's supported by a lot of our election integrity groups out here in Michigan that have been reviewing like 16,000 hours of surveillance video. So if anybody's looking for a new hobby, you know, these guys need at least a little bit of Visine, but and a little bit of help here to zero in on exactly what's happening with these ballots. This is not the way you manage a secure election.
So these are all ballots. They're opening up, I guess, a Dropbox or something, and they're going to all stick them in a garbage bag and then hopefully take them somewhere to be counted legally. But this is, again, what they call a secure election, huh? How should this be done? What's the legal process?
Well, first of all, somebody should be logging how many ballots are being taken, what time it is. They should be sealing that information and making sure that that's part of the chain of custody around this. When I was present at the walkthrough during the primary in the city of Detroit, we asked them specifically for what chain of custody documentation would we be able to receive around these Dropbox pickups. And we were told explicitly by Daniel Baxter, one of the election officials, you don't get any chain of custody. And I want to put this into context for people. I was a poll challenger at TCF Center when they dropped off these ballots out of the middle in the middle of the night at 3:30 in the morning that had zero chain of custody. Those ballots had a significant impact on the final vote tallies in this election. We deserve to have a chain of custody around that and some sort of accounting for where those ballots came from and how they got into the hands of these election workers. And what you're seeing here on film is really evidence what Daniel Baxter says is right. There is no chain of custody. It's sloppy. It's not done in a professional manner. And unfortunately, we're headed into that same modus operandi for this upcoming election.
Wow. And so I guess the lawsuit against True the Vote is going to be dropped now by that guy, or he'll be forced to now that the DA in L.A.'s arrested him for the very thing I guess they were being sued for saying, right?
Yeah, originally, I got to admit, I was a little nervous about Gasson being the prosecutor. And he's a Soros prosecutor, and there's I think it's a pretty ironclad case.
Why is he doing it then? Why is he doing it then?
That is a good question. I hope it's because he's under pressure by good people in law enforcement, including folks in the FBI that are probably sick and tired of the good name of their agency being besmirched by folks like Tim Tebow and crew. I hope this is a sign of a first of many signs where the good people that are all for law and order and enforcing our laws within law enforcement are starting to take a stand. We already have the constitutional sheriff, Sheriff Mack, and my Michigan's own Dar Leaf that are doing that job here, but it's about time that the rest of the crew started stepping up and enforcing our laws. That's why I kicked off Operation Overwatch. If you go to operationoverwatch.us, It highlights all the different activities that people are engaged in to make sure that we have a lawful election. And it's got support all across the country. Oh, and we've got individuals from over 12 states that have signed on to this as well. And what we're doing is making sure that these guys don't get away with any unlawful activities in this upcoming election.
OperationOverwatch.us.
You got it. And if you'd like to sign up and share what your organization is doing in support of those activities, please, there's a place to sign up and we'll get you added to the list.
Excellent. What's your website again, Patrick?
Well, for the book, you can go to the2020coup.com, but it's easier just to go right to mystore.com and use the promo code MeddlingKids. I also put out a lot of information around what's going on with our elections and other key policy topics at letsfixstuff.org.
Letsfixstuff.org. All right. Thank you, as always, for all your work, Patrick.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Keep on cranking.
You too. Patrick Kolbeck checking in, folks. Check out his website as well. All right. We're going to go to J.D. Rucker now. J.D. is the purveyor of the Liberty Daily. J.D. is a journalist and has been covering a lot of this election fraud from the beginning. I'm inviting J.D. on to talk about a few things, but one of them is what all the media's not talking about today related to this case coming out of L.A. that we've been talking about with our two previous guests. J.D., welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, as always, Brandon.
So, J.D., what do you make of the hypocrisy of the media? Here, as we showed this earlier tonight from Zero Hedge, they've put up the Brian York. Monday, New York Times published a story knocking down crazy right-wing conspiracy theories about voting software company. Tuesday, New York Times reports about company CEO has been arrested. This guy says, this happened quicker than usual. I appreciate not having to wait around. And, of course, Rasmussen actually talks about it as well. CEO of election company that sued True the Vote was just arrested exactly for what True the Vote has been claiming. But where's the media on this, J.D.?
Everybody's talking about the New York Times story. Now, there are some, and granted, you know, they're talking about the arrest of the CEO and the actions that he took. They're talking a little bit. But when you look at what's being shared on social media, when you look at what most of the stories are talking about, everybody, and this is so predictable, but so many in conservative and alternative media are focused on owning the libs. That's what we like to do. That's fun. It's like, oh, look at New York Times. They did this. They're such idiots. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, this was intentional. Of course they knew that he was going to be arrested. Of course they knew that they were publishing the story right before it was about to get debunked. They were getting ahead of the story. But more importantly, they knew that if they were able to change the story to being about this massive piece of evidence, this massive corroboration of what Mike Lindell and you and me and a lot of us have been saying and True the Vote for a long time, if they can get us to not talk about that and instead talk about how embarrassing this is for the New York Times, then that's what's going to get shared because it's simple. It's basic. New York Times posts a story. It gets debunked. It's brutal. The timing of it, though, the timing is what tells us with a certainty that this was intentional. Okay, this isn't a new story. They've been working on it since August. And you're telling me that before a Soros-backed district attorney and George Gascon, before he goes out and makes an arrest, there's this New York Times study story that calls it a conspiracy theory, and oh, then the next day there's the arrest. No, this is the deep state manipulating us. You figure instead of 100% of the attention being focused on the actual arrest and the actual voter fraud that took place as a result, instead about half of the people, maybe more than half of conservatives and patriots, are stuck ripping on the New York Times because that's just more fun. And we're missing the big story here. And that's unfortunate. You're talking about it, of course. Others, you know, a handful of others are. But you look at the majority of conservative websites out there, their focus is on New York Times, such idiots, such fools. You know, no, that's not the story. That's just a distraction. And most conservative news outlets fell right for it. Mm-hmm. It's a shame.
What else are you covering at the Liberty Daily?
It's funny. I literally just put up, I was sitting here waiting in the green room when the story popped up and I was in the middle of reading it. I threw it up as the top story over at thelibertydaily.com. Shocking. This comes from Kyle Becker. Shocking email. Feds purposely made kids miserable during COVID pandemic to coerce them into getting vaxxed. Now, I think a lot of us, we know deep down that was likely to happen. But just the fact that there's now a leak of an email that corroborates, that confirms that they were not just trying to keep the slave masks on kids and keep the keep schools, you know, social distancing and making them eat outside in 40-degree weather and all this other stuff. They weren't just doing that for the sake of, you know, being draconian. They were doing it because they figured if they can make the kids miserable, that they're going to go to their parents and say, oh, please get me vaxxed. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I don't want to eat food outside. I just want things to go back to normal. And Anthony Fauci keeps telling us that the only way to go back to normal is if we all get jabbed. So please, oh, please get me jabbed. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow. You know, now, look at this headline. You said, Becker News, you guys reporting, feds purposely made kids miserable during COVID pandemic to coerce them into getting vaxxed. And then it goes down here. It says, an August 2021 email by the U.S. Department of Education's Anne Hartage, of the Office of Communications Outreach followed up on a conversation between Eric Hargitay, who is now Pennsylvania's current Secretary of Education, and then this Deputy Chief of Staff for Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf, and this guy Jack, Deputy Chief of Staff for Federal Affairs for Governor Wolf, sheds an ugly spotlight on the behind-the-scenes decision-making that led to the current crisis in education among America's school children. Well, wouldn't you know, there's the email. Eric, Tara, yeah, and Jack.
Yeah, and it goes into detail. They were wanting to leverage. They actually used the word leverage. School sports and activities to coerce vaccination amongst
students. Oh, here it is. Look at this. Let's go back to the screen. As we discussed on The Cell, we have seen leveraging athletics and extracurricular activities as a way to boost youth vaccinations. Be effective tactic across the country. I'm not sure. That's a kind of a poorly written sentence, isn't it?
It is, but yeah, this is just people from the Department of Education.
That's what I was going to say. Aren't these people from the Department of Education? That's a poorly written sentence. As we discussed on the call, we have seen leveraging athletics and extracurricular activities as a way to boost youth vaccinations be an effective tactic across the country. Students, let's go back to it, guys. Students want to avoid the risk of needing to quarantine for 14 days, and coaches and parents also want to avoid this. Many districts have begun preseason practices, and so would be good. Oh, my word, really? And so would be good places to host clinics right now. And so they would be, or it would be. I mean, yeah, this is not very good. But again, hey, they're just from the Department of Education. But anyway, there you go. They are saying we can make these kids miserable, and then they'll want to get the shot. Oh, my.
You know, I think that you actually – you may have interviewed him or somebody. I remember there was that dad who was – he was just heartbroken. He was demanding answers. He might have been Canadian, but he basically said, look – you guys made me get my kid vaxxed because if he didn't get vaxxed, he couldn't play sports. He was a big time hockey player, if I recall. That's why I think it's Canadian. But you guys made me get him vaxxed. He didn't want to get vaxxed. I didn't want him to get vaxxed, but he couldn't play without it. And then he died. And you know, what are you telling me? It's just this kind of thing happened across the board.
It did. We also have
athletes just falling.
We have another guy I interviewed. Let's see, what was his name? His son was a basketball player. He got the shot and he dropped dead playing basketball. A police officer happened to be standing by. His name was Ernesto. And, a police officer happened to be standing by, tried CPR. The young man was taken to the hospital, pronounced dead. And when they did the autopsy, his heart was like twice the size it should have been. I've interviewed the father, Ernesto, whose son got the shot, and is demanding answers. So there's two stories. You and I each know of one.
Yeah. Oh, and there's hundreds. Okay. This is happening so much. You saw what happened to, I think it was Romney's nephew or something in Utah. You see this everywhere. And you're seeing, it's not just about, you know, oh, they're being forced to get jabbed. We're seeing these kids that are actually dying from this. Okay, there was a report, I forgot the name of the website, but there's a website that tracks all of these. And they're now up to, last time I checked, they had like 230, and I was like, holy crap. Well, I checked again recently, and it was like 1,300. Now, these are just athletes that had confirmed major adverse reactions. We're not talking about a rash here. Okay, we're talking about either they collapsed, They had heart attacks, strokes, myocarditis, pericarditis, encephalitis, all these various things that young and healthy athletes just shouldn't have, okay? You might get one out of 100,000. Instead, we're seeing like one out of 1,000. And that's a lot, folks. That's a whole lot of people, of athletes, who are getting hurt by these spike proteins.
And that doesn't count the kids that are
forcing it.
Doesn't count the kids that are having seizures now, regular right. seizures, mm-hmm. that have now brain cancer, mm-hmm. Autoimmune diseases.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, when I saw this, I was scrambling. I go, oh, crap, I hope he doesn't bring me on. Keep the guests talking. Keep the guests talking. I got to get this up on the
Well, there it is. Let's show it. Right there at the headline in red at the Liberty Daily. Here's another one you posted. Why did the CDC mm-hmm. hide the vaccine safety data from the American people for almost 2 years? Tell me about that one.
So, VSafe. So let's back up a bit. Back in July of last year, they started doing some. They launched the VSafe app, which is a way for people to basically report what's happening to them. You know, as soon as they get the jab, it goes on their smartphone. They're able to say, hey, you know, I had this adverse reaction, that adverse reaction. And the whole point here, the reason they had launched it initially was not just to collect the data, but also to be used as a way to promote these, okay, to be able to say, hey, you know what, we've got this app out there, and there was only you know, a few hundred adverse reactions, which we expected. As it turned out, the data was so off the charts that the CDC stopped allowing the information to get out there. And so you had the Dell Bigtree and the good folks over there at the High Wire, they sued, and they filed a Freedom of Information Act. They filed lawsuits. They ended up having to go through two lawsuits. They ended up having to try to coerce an Obama judge. And finally, it was like, okay, fine, let's get this out there. And they got the data out there, and they forced the CDC to release the data. And once the data was released, which I believe was last Friday, I think it was Friday, yeah. That once the data was released, it's like, oh, no wonder they didn't want it released. I want you to take a guess here. This isn't in the article that you refer to at the Liberty Daily. This is just my own research that I did. I want you to take a guess of approximately how many symptoms. Okay, so one adverse reaction, they can report 1, 2, 3, 5 symptoms. I want you to guess how many total symptoms were reported by these people who, you know, through this app. Wild guess. Throw out any number. First number comes to mind.
Collectively, every
person. Okay, so there's about 10 million people on it, on the app, and they can do one. They can do zero adverse reactions. They can do one. They could do five. However many they just check the box. It's a really simple tool.
So out of 10 million people, of course, someone could have more than one reaction. But if everybody had an average of, say, one reaction, that'd be 10 million. But not everyone's going to have one react, but let's say, I'd say out of that 10 million, let's say they got 2.5 million.
See, that's exactly what I would have thought. Yes, it's funny. That's really odd that, you know, I would have thought it would be probably about 25%, right? 25%, because you're gonna have some that have multiple, some that don't have any. As it turned out, there was 7.7%, by the way, that had reported adverse reactions. So our number's like, okay, so that makes sense, right? You think, yeah, about 2.5, maybe 3-4 million. So we're thinking along the same lines. Brandon, there were 71 million adverse reaction symptoms reported.
71 million?
71 million. And you're talking about, okay, you're talking about millions of people. And they, if you were to extrapolate it out to the 230 million Americans who had at least one jab since the rollout, if you extrapolate it out, that would have equated to, as far as lost school days, lost work days, and hospitalizations, it would have equaled approximately 90 million people who experienced something negative, something bad happened to them, you know, and we're not just talking about a rash here. We're talking about hospitalization, loss of work days, loss of school days. Of course they weren't going to release that data. And of course they've been slow playing it. Now that they're out there, now they're just trying to debunk it. Okay. They're trying to debunk their own data. They're saying, oh, you can't really trust it because it's an app. You know, it's funny because the same reasons they say you can't trust VIRS, they're using the opposite reasons for why you can't trust VSafe. This is their data that they're trying to debunk because they know that if the people weren't aware of how dangerous, how ineffective these jabs were, nobody would take any of them. And more importantly, I think people would start demanding answers, demanding money, demanding accountability. They'd want people to go to jail, and they should go to jail. And people should be reimbursed because we're talking about people's lives being irrevocably damaged. Many people died. Many people are permanently disabled. And we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. They're saying that within 5 years, one report was speculating, granted, but they were speculating that within 5 years, like 20 million kids are going to be dead. Okay, 20 million kids that have been vaxxed are going to be dead because of the effects that it has on the heart and because they're cumulative. Now, I keep in mind, I deal with facts here. So I don't usually get into some of that speculative stuff. But at this stage, when we start seeing the data that we think we have, the data that we think is scary enough, and then we see the real data, like what was released by VSafe, what does that tell us? It tells us that as careful as we were way off. You and I both guessed around 2.5 million. There were 71 million reports of symptoms from a small subset.
And yet, look at this. Look at this headline before we conclude tonight. The Federalist is reporting today, J.D., disgraced EcoHealth Alliance should be banished to Wuhan, but Fauci just gave it millions more tax dollars.
Yeah.
EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Daszak's nonprofit that infamously funneled funds into the Wuhan Institute of Virology for the bat-based coronaviruses research that is suspected of starting the COVID-19 pandemic, has just been awarded another grant from the National Institutes of Health.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because people are looking at this as a financial play by Fauci. This is a cover-up play, okay? This is a cover-up play, and it's funny that I'm glad that you brought this up because I'll be writing an article about this later tonight, that this is not just about, oh, he's giving more money. See, we often look at the surface level. Oh, we think, oh, so he's giving more money to his buddy on his way out the door because Fauci is retiring, right? It's not about the money, okay? This is about giving him an ability to do more research. And you know what that research is going to be, Brandon? That research is actually going to be covering their tracks, making sure that they have enough money to essentially get rid of whatever evidence there still exists, whether it's in Wuhan, whether it's in Ukraine, whether
it's
in
here. Yeah, because
it
takes money. A cover-up and cleanup takes money.
Takes money, yeah. The cover-up and cleanup. They
got to
grease palms.
Yeah, I can say. In my opinion, I can say, and you have to buy people off.
Yeah, and that's where this money's going to go. This isn't going to be some, oh, you know, now they're going to do gain-of-function research in Serbia. No. This is all about, okay, so we're going to they'll call it re-examine. We're going to re-examine the data that we did back in 2014, and that re-examination is actually going to be, let's destroy the evidence, let's grease some palms, let's make sure that everybody who knows about it, that they're either out of the way, or they're in good hands, and they're not going to say anything because they know that once the truth starts coming out, okay, and it's been coming out for a long time on shows like yours, but it's not coming out. You know, Jake Tapper's not talking about it. Sean Hannity's not talking about it. Okay, you know, these guys aren't talking about it, right? Who is us? But we don't reach 100 million people a day. You know, you might. I don't. Not
no,
yet.
But
someday.
We're getting close. J.D. Rucker.
Absolutely.
J.D. Rucker from the Liberty Daily and JDRucker.com. It is JDRucker.com, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. J.D.
And
Rucker.
One more quick plug. New project starting, discern.tv. Check it out. It hasn't launched yet, but you can sign up for updates. Discern.tv.
Excellent. Thank you, J.D.
Thanks.
J.D. Rucker checking in tonight. Now, again, remember, Mike is out on business, and if you appreciate all that Mike is doing, and again, all three hosts had to say what tonight? Same thing. Mike's been validated. By the way, show me that picture real quick. Throw that picture up there that's going viral. That's going viral right now. Yeah. Mike said, I can't read it from this far away. What's it say, guys? I remember. I mean, I can paraphrase it. What did he say? Read it to me in my ear. Tell me in my ear what it says. I will spend everything I have and sell everything I have if that's what it takes. Mike Lindell. There you go. That's going viral. You guys could put that back up there real quick. Everybody take a screenshot of it. Everybody take a screenshot. Tweet, text, email, Facebook, Getter. Get that. Keep that going viral. Everybody take a screenshot of that. Keep that going viral. There you go. And while you're doing that, then go over to mypillow.com, mystore.com. Use the promo code L77. New guy in the control room. He started the theme music at 7:01. That's supposed to start at 6:59, Thomas. You're 2 minutes late, but we won't hold it against you since he's a newbie in the control room tonight. But anyway, I like giving these guys a hard time. All right, they're hard workers, and we welcome Thomas to the team in the control room producing live television. He's worked his way up. All right, thanks for being with us tonight. Thanks for supporting Mike. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, L77. The Worldview Report comes up next. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.